Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people in Mendocino County, California. This program is funded through Laytonville Healthy Start with Jama Shield Spence and is produced by Dan Roberts. We are all seniors at Laytonville High School. My name is Eve.
My name is Corinna Gillespie.
I am Natalia Cuesta Taneo. Since we are sheltering in place, we are creating the show on FaceTime. Today our topic is Revisioning High School, Part 7. On Youth Speaks Out, we've had a recurring topic about how high school could be improved. On two of these revisioning shows, we have had interviews with high school principals Gordon Oslin in 2003 and John Curchiro in 2014. In 2012, the show was hosted by Native American students from Round Valley High School, discussing the relevance of California high school curriculum to the indigenous population.
The other three shows focused on the practicality of high school classes, overcoming the inefficiency of learning in a class full of distractions, and whether graduating from high school has given one any of the skills to enter the job market with. Those shows are available to listen to at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net. Laytonville High School is small, 120 students. Many of us have been together for 12 years now. Laytonville is a very rural community in a sparsely populated county in Northern California.
Today we are going to talk about what worked for us in high school, what was a waste of time, and the importance of taking a community college class while in high school. Having experienced 6 weeks of remote education due to the COVID pandemic, we've had some fresh insights into how efficient spending 5 days a week in the classroom may or may not be. We will also give examples of teachers who inspired us to think beyond the box.
Are Chromebooks a good replacement for textbooks? And how much homework is essential? And how well can we learn away from the classroom? We were each involved in educational experiences last summer, and we will describe how that affected us. We have plans to attend colleges in different areas this fall, and we will wonder if we will be attending classes there or if distance education will continue.
We, like you, continue to live in a most uncertain time. Hopefully, this unplanned experiment in education will give us new views into revisiting high school. We'll begin by talking about our overall high school experiences.
I think overall, I had a pretty positive high school experience. I grew a lot positively as a person, and I look back on high school positively. I'm not going to say it's like the best years of my life, because I'm hoping that it'll be even better afterwards, but it was a good time. I would say that overall, I would rank it pretty positively. I would say the strong point, like the biggest strong point, would just be the sense of community that we have here, because there was just not that many people. I just knew everyone so well. And now because of that, I just love actually delving into people and having real conversations and connecting with people. And I'm not positive I would have had that feeling about people had I grown up in a bigger place where it was harder to connect with people on such a deeper level. So I think that was just one thing that this place inherently has that I didn't really have to work for. That was really helpful for me and just what I like doing and what I want to do with my life. So I'm really thankful for that.
What worked for me in high school is just like, I was just more focused in high school. So I just had more of an urge to learn. And I had the outlet to kind of choose what I wanted to learn, like what interests me at that time. And I kind of had enough variety within our small school that I was able to do that. Like I took biology freshman year, which really opened my eyes on what, like, I want to focus towards, like, in the future, and what I really connect with and what interests me. And so what worked for me in high school is just interacting with my teachers and my classmates every day, basically. I really liked a lot of the project-based learning we did in a lot of my classes, like, especially in my science classes. Like, we've even incorporated project-based learning into my math classes and other such things. And I really liked being able to learn as a group with my class. That really helped me and learn more and get more involved with the information I was learning. Like, if reading together and talking about, like, the chapters we read last night in English class every day, and, like, she would give us a prompt on, like, about the book that we would have to interpret from our reading. And so it would be like a class discussion. And so I really think, like, in class discussion with your peers and your teacher, like, that back and forth is really important for myself and my, like, learning capabilities.
For like waste of time stuff, I just think I took a lot of classes I really didn't need. Like, I've taken like 5 years of math and I don't want to do anything with math in my life. Like, if I have to do another equation, I think I might die. But like, I still did it because I had to, but I don't really, I think I might have just spent, just because when I was younger, I just didn't know what I wanted to spend my time doing. So I just might have just, it would have been nice to have a better guideline on what I should have spent more time on and what I shouldn't have spent time on.
What I kind of consider a waste of time would just be like wasting class time on book reading. You know what? That's what I found boring and somewhat irritating in some of my classes, especially like in my history class. Like we would just, like we would be in a group, but we wouldn't discuss anything about what we read. We would just actually read the content and kind of go around the room. And I felt like that was a kind of a waste of time because we were just reading the knowledge, you know, in class and just kind of going at this slow snail pace, making sure everybody reads their like participating chunk instead of just like having the students read and try to understand it on their own. And then we're kind of ask others for help if they don't understand it, you know, instead of just like kind of going at a very slow snail's pace. With just reading information from a textbook that someone wrote 20 years ago. We read out aloud in English, but I appreciated her format of reading out loud, my English teachers, because we would read a couple pages and we'd actually like, we talk about what went on in the scene instead of just continuing. And like only people, the only people who would read were people who wanted to read to the class instead of like kind of this forced participation on everyone in the class. To read like a paragraph, but it would be people who actually wanted to read out to the class reading multiple pages at a time instead of one single paragraph going around the room.
In the first few years of high school, I don't think there wasn't so much time wasted. The time that I wasted was my own decision. I feel like most of the time, the first 3 years of high school, I had really important classes I had to be at, and I was always pretty dedicated to like going to class so that I would actually understand the concepts and do well. But definitely this past senior year, I have felt sometimes that I'm wasting my time being at school just because a lot of the classes that I was taking weren't really classes that I was engaging in. I was just there to say that I was taking classes to fulfill the schedule and fill the time. So I definitely felt like I was kind of wasting my time just taking extra study halls or TAing classes just because there was nothing else for me to do. I've been taking classes from Mendocino College since freshman year even. Freshman year, me and my friends took a in-person class in Willits. It was an ASL, American Sign Language class. And that was just because we were really interested in it, and we knew that opportunity was available for students to take classes for free at Mendocino College. I liked it. I didn't like that I had to go down in person like twice a week. It took a lot of my time and I found it kind of annoying. So sophomore year, I didn't take as many classes. I think I took one in the spring semester. And then junior year, I took a college class each semester. And then this year, I've taken 3 college classes each semester. When I was first talking to Ms. McHenry, our school counselor, about going into the college track and, what I can do to make my self as competitive as possible for getting into colleges. Because our school is so small and our community is so small and we have a lack of teachers, our school just can't offer the same level of classes that other schools do. There's only one AP class a year when most schools have 10 or 15 or even 20. And those can transfer for credit and you can take AP tests and they offer up a bunch of opportunities for students that are interested in college. So because of that, the kind of alternative route that Laneyville High School students have been taking for a while now is taking classes through Mendocino Community College, sometimes in person, but I've taken almost all of mine online now, especially this past year, and I've taken 3 each semester. It's almost a full college load. There's things about it that I struggle with, just like I'm less in touch with the concepts in the class just because there's no in-person accountability with my peers or my teacher, but I do thrive well with that kind of classroom setting because
I'm able to structure my time however I want, and especially as a senior when really my days, I don't really have any classes at school, but I'm meeting with buddies for peer counseling, or I'm going to meetings for mock trial or practices or a student government meeting. It's easier to structure my time where I can do the work whenever I need to around things that come up in my day that I have to deal with. And really this year it's been nice, and I really feel like without it I would not have learned the skills and management things that you need to know to take on college classes. And I was really nervous about going into a college level courses next year, especially I'm going to be going into a really rigorous school, that I was worried about not being up to par with their standards, but taking online college classes has definitely prepared me for that level of work and, that kind of responsibility in that kind of class. But I think I've learned about what college classes are like, and I've learned how to do them online. I've learned how to work with the Canvas work layout that most schools use. And I'm really glad that our school has found a way to offer that, because it can't offer the things that most schools can. I strongly encourage all Lanesville High School students and schools around students to take Mendocino Community College classes, because you can take whatever classes you want. You can get college credit for them. It takes half the time as a normal high school semester, and they're free.
I love the fact that we were able to do that. I sometimes just get really passionate about how dope that is, just because it's free for the students. Like, since I'm enrolled at the high school, everything that I do through the college is paid for. Like, I don't have to spend any of my actual money on any of my college classes. Like, I take an art class and all of my materials and stuff were paid for. It was like over like $100 or something, like $200 or something. And then the school just covered it. So you get it's kind of like if you took an AP class, except for instead of you having to take the AP test to get college credits, you just immediately get college credit, which is why college classes are a billion times better than AP classes will ever be. So, and then also in your grades, like say if I had a B in my economics class, on my high school transcript, it would show up as an A, and I would get an extra GPA bump from that. So it was just like, it's just really kind of awesome. And because it's a community college, so it's like, it's higher expectations than the high school is going to be. But also since it's a community college, it still has to be able to accommodate every part of the community that wants to educate themselves. So it's not like this, it's not a crazy amount of stuff they have to do, and they're still willing to help you out, and they understand that you're just trying to do your best. So like, it can be a little intimidating, but it's really, really, really helpful and beneficial. And I think by the time I graduate, like I'll have taken like 8 college classes. And that's like, you get done with so much of like general ed stuff for college. Just by the time I get there, it'll just be a lot of stuff I already like to do instead of the stuff that I have to do. And it'll be free. I didn't have to pay for a year of college, which is like, it's awesome. The majority of the classes I took through Mendocino College were online, but 2 of them have been in person so far. Freshman year, I took an American Sign Language class through Mendocino College. I don't really remember why. I think I just didn't take Spanish or something, and then I took sign language. So I took that one in person. And then this semester I took an art class, which was in person. So now it's online, but it was in person. And the online ones are you just do it through Canvas and stuff. And this year has been the only year where they've given me time in the actual school day to do my college classes, because I was taking 3 a semester. So I got 3 classes where they're just study halls for my college classes, and they let me go off campus and stuff and just do my homework and whatever. And most of the time I had in the beginning of the year, I had so much work where I genuinely couldn't have broken the rules and slacked off if I wanted to, just because I would have just crashed and burned. So I really took advantage of that. But junior year, I took like 2 classes a semester, maybe 1 and then 2 or something, and I didn't have any breaks or study halls for that, really. I don't think that they'd really incorporated that yet. I think that this year was the first year that they actually really took into consideration the kids that were also taking college classes, but a lot of kids don't. I would be like, I'm kind of shocked by how many kids don't like take the opportunity, but I think more and more sort of like kids are starting. From what I've seen from distance education and how, like, when, like, talking to other people through it, I think
that a lot of the stuff that kids just don't want to do in school just kind of gets extremes when it's distance education. Like, I know, like, the majority of the kids I know, like, haven't done, like, a problem of their math homework. Like, haven't, because no one's really, like, making them do it. So it just really shows how much the, like, the actual, like, busy work homework stuff doesn't actually work unless there's a teacher, like, breathing on your neck the entire time. They're just giving us stuff that they don't really know what to do with us because we don't have, they can't be in class with us. We're giving us the stuff that they think we should be learning, and no one has the motivation to actually do it because they're not at all interested in it. So I think it, I think more than anything, it just kind of shows that, like, you can't make kids be interested in school by just shoving a bunch of paper down their throat, because, like, kids are just doing it so that they don't fail. Like, school doesn't really mean anything to them at this point, and that's not really the point, I don't think. It's just kind of like, I don't know what the vibe's gonna be for the kids coming back to high school after the quarantine, but I think it'll be a little bit strange. I don't know where the motivation's gonna be at, but it'll be interesting. I'm not sure.
I've definitely learned some things about how well kids do in and out of the classroom, just like how well our education system can support these kinds of things that happen. But I myself, I don't have that many high school classes, so I haven't had to deal too much with a shift in my workload. Most of my work is online most of the time anyways, so it's just kind of my normal. But I do know some kids who really struggle because they're used to that face-to-face communication with their teacher, and when they're trying to learn new concepts and ideas, it can be really hard to learn them enough to do the homework without their help.
I miss, like, a combination of both, like, the social and educational aspects of school. Like, myself, personally, I'm not great with online schools. Like, I've taken all my my college classes in person instead of through online, through Mendocino College, because I don't, like, connect with them very well. I feel like I'll miss knowledge. I'm a very auditory learner, and so I like to talk with, and if I don't understand something, I like to be able to ask a question, raise my hand in class, and not have to, like, type in the discussion and wait an entire day to have my question answered, even though I needed it to do the assignment, you know? It's just, I can't learn very well on the online classes. And so I've been kind of struggling with the whole, with being out of school because of that. And I'm hoping everything goes back to normal so my college experience isn't full of online classes. And so I definitely do miss the social aspect of being with everyone and learning with a teacher and kind of just trying to understand a new topic together instead of just being confused on your own, like looking at a website page over and over again.
I think it's affecting students so differently, and it's really interesting at all different levels, but in like high school wise, in the classes in the school that I'm in, I see it as teachers are starting to get worried about students that aren't able to ask some questions and fully delve into the concepts and know what they're talking about, and they're just trying to do the work without having someone explain it to them. But I think that happens way too often in the classroom, even if we were all in school normally, in normal life. I mean, a teacher can only talk in depth to a couple students during a classroom in a class, and in the hard classes, in the science classes, and the math classes, and the Spanish classes, when you really need someone to explain it to you, and not every kid can have the time to have the student really talk to them. So I think one thing is just noticing the impact it has on kids when they don't get full attention from teachers or an aide or a tutor or someone to fully explain it to them. And when kids are kind of left behind, it kind of is exponential, and the more they're behind, the more they get more behind. And I think it's also affected, like, higher education as well. Like, I know the school that I'm planning on going to, I've been watching a lot of, like, Zoom presentations and meetings with the alumni and faculty and students about the school, and they were discussing how they recently made a change that if students would like to, they can opt in to do a pass or fail for the semester for a class. But the only issue is that opting into a pass or fail makes it look like you had a really bad grade. So some students think it's unfair that if students have to choose opt or fail because their grade is bad because they don't have bad internet access, or they're not able to get the help they need because of quarantine,
they will choose, they want to choose opt or fail because their grade is bad, but they don't want to opt in because then it looks bad for them on their record. And so I think in a lot of ways, it's changing how we think about grading and education.
I do think Chromebooks are helpful, but I also think textbooks are necessary, you know, because there is a lot of information. Yes, there is a lot of information on the internet, but the stuff that we're actually allowed to see and that we are allowed to research on the Chromebook is very, very limited. And so we actually need access to like a whole, like a plethora of information on one topic that we can learn about instead of scouring through different opinions on the internet and not knowing what's true or anything. You know, most teachers don't trust a source of Wikipedia, you know, and that's like the main thing that pops up when you Google anything. And you just simply can't trust it. And so it's nice to have something concrete that you can refer to, like a textbook, so you can get information out of it and know where that information came from when you're trying to cite a source or something like that. And so the Chromebooks are useful, but their usefulness is limited. Like, I can't even check my own personal email on the school's Chromebook because they blocked it. You can't even watch barely any YouTube video, even if it is educational, because it's all blocked. And so, like, any college stuff that I needed to do, I couldn't get done at school, even if I did have a study hall where I could use a Chromebook. So, they're limited. They're useful, but very limited.
At this point where I'm at, I kind of hate using paper things. Like, I love, like, drawing and, like, writing and stuff, expressing stuff on paper, but I really hate doing, like, but for me personally, I think it's just easier for me to keep everything all together in one thing. Like, kids lose papers so easily and all that stuff. I just think it would be a lot more convenient to just have a Chromebook. But there's always, it's just, we live in such a rural area. You just can't expect everyone to have the same resources. So it just doesn't seem predictable that we could all use Chromebooks and stuff. But it's overall, like, I think in time it'll all go to, like, Chromebooks and stuff just because it's just a lot more convenient and easy, and it's a lot easier to communicate with people and just get stuff done quicker.
Chromebooks are a great resource for a lot of kids. They're offered in all the classrooms, and I think for the kids that don't have internet access at home or a great resource technology available to them, it can be really helpful to have that some time at school to work online. I know that myself, they're a little problematic. The Wi-Fi at the school is not great. So most of the time, even if you're using a Chromebook, it loads really slowly. It's really hard for teachers to use them for a whole class because if everyone is using them, it gets really slow. So they're kind of hard to use, even though we have them. I, at least myself, this past year and the year before that, I really just used my own laptop. I'm lucky enough that I have my own laptop. So all my classes are mostly online. I do a lot of my reading online. I do have some textbooks for my college classes that I read, my English textbook I read, but I read my economics textbook online. So I say it's still kind of divided, but there's definitely more use of technological stuff. The Google Classroom became really big, and I know that a lot of the teachers use the Chromebooks for that. It can be really helpful. It has a calendar for all the students, and it gives them notifications on upcoming due dates and stuff. But for the students who are at home now and don't have the internet access, it can be really hard because some students that do have the internet access are doing fine, but it's creating an imbalance in grades due to what's available to the students, not to their actual abilities.
I don't think that 5 days a week all from early in the morning is the best model to run schools. I think, like, we can get enough, like, there is so much time that can be cut out of our day, especially, like, as you move up in high school, like, as you do more in class, more and more classes, and there's less classes you need to do as you move, you're getting more study halls that are not necessarily needed. And so it could be a good option to shorten that. Like, this year, before school was, canceled, like us, a lot of the seniors who are also taking college classes outside of high school could leave early after lunch if we didn't have any classes, you know, because we had taken a lot of the classes offered at our high school. And so that was a really great opportunity that our high school offered that I was really appreciative of, and I'm sure, like, and other seniors were as well. But I definitely think, like, we could start later, and there wouldn't be much of a difference. You know, we could just do a straight 5 hours less of schooling a week, and it wouldn't be too terrible. Or even just move the whole schedule down and end at 4 instead of 3. You know, but, of course, there's the whole sports schedule complication that comes with that and everything. So it's hard to really shift that way. But I also think having Fridays off, or maybe having like project Fridays, would be beneficial for schools. Like if you have learning in class informational 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, and then other kids would just, and then kids could have like an independent project they would do Friday, or they could come into school Friday for extra tutoring if needed. You know, based on how you're doing in school.
I think there's no perfect way to do it. Everyone's going to want different systems on when to start school and how many days a week people should go to school. Personally, I would probably rather enjoy school being like 2 hours longer each day, but we have Fridays off, so like 4 days a week. I think that would give enough time for students to be able to be in the classroom and get the hands-on experience with the teachers, but I just think we spend too much time in the classroom and at school. We spend too much of our time doing the same things every day.
But I don't think that five days of school a week is really like the optimal way that we could be educating students, just because we're not really understanding that we can get education from a lot of different ways, like outside of actually being like in class. And so I think if we did like maybe like 4 days of school, 3 days off, then it would give more kids a little bit more incentive to like go out and find stuff that they enjoy a little bit on their own. Like I feel like if we give kids, like, school is part of a route for kids to be able to find what they like to do in life, but I couldn't have known what I wanted to do in my life from just what I've been learning in school. Like I have to go out into the world and actually see stuff, and I think that if school is just such a constant thing, I think it kind of stops kids from growing up and like seeing stuff outside and spending time. And I think if just our community spent a little bit more time like incentivizing kids actually being involved in stuff in their free time, if we did have that free time, then it would be really beneficial. But I don't think that if we just give kids a 3-day weekend, then they just use the time how I think that they'd want to. But if we actually made the change to like actually give kids really beneficial stuff to do in their free time, then I think that it would be good to have just 4 days in school and then 3 days off. But it would be a lot of work from everyone and not just like, do what you want, kids.
I was on student council. Like we could, for example, like we could have all of our student council meetings on Friday. Like only student council could people come in. Like I feel like extracurriculars could be more productive. Clubs could be more productive. Like kids would just have more free time to do the skills and the hobbies that they love to do, and schools can really adopt that and incorporate that into their curriculum, which is what kind of I've been thinking about during quarantine, because I have more free time to do what I like to do, and I wish it could be like this like most of the year, even though it is very lonely.
I haven't had block schedules in high school, but I think in some ways they can do good. Some kids do better when they have more time to like really delve into a concept to understand, and sometimes an hour period can quite not be enough, especially when the class is really large. The kids talk a lot and it can be hard to get any real work done. But I also think that kids get bored in the day if they're stuck with a teacher for too long. But I think that I feel like 2-hour blocks wouldn't be that long, but anything more than that. I just remember in middle school we had to have like 3-hour blocks almost, and that was too much. But somewhere in between, I think, can work well.
I think it really depends on the type of classes that you're taking. Like as a freshman, when you have to take you have to take math and science and English and like all of the stuff, at least freshman and sophomore year, like get all the stuff done. So in my mind, if I hate math and then I have to sit for 2 hours, like, and just do math instead of having to like count down from an hour, I think it might be a lot more difficult for me to want to do anything, or I might just like ditch for a day if it's just math and science and I don't want to do it or something. You know, if I was a kid that didn't like that, it'd be more convenient to miss clumps of things I didn't like if I were disliking things, not that I think in that way whatsoever. However, I think that it would still be beneficial to just, like, get kids' attention a little bit more, because our classes are pretty short, and kids' attention spans are also pretty short. So I think it's kind of got its pros and its cons, but it varies between schools. I think we'd have to try it out. But I'm also not opposed to it. I think it could be helpful. It would give teachers a bit more time to not feel like they're rushing everything and maybe keep kids, like, a little bit cooled down and less, like, moving so much throughout the day.
We did this project in my English class last year where we had to design a, like, school system, a school and how it would run and what our schedule would be and what classes we offered and whatnot. And so there was options to change the schedule. And so that was kind of an idea we were throwing around while I was doing that project last year. So actually we have, like, we made websites for them. They're actually online, but they're fake schools that we made up for English. I think homework, it can be beneficial to the student. It really depends on the amount and the type of homework. Like, I really like at-home reading. I don't mind that, like, or at-home reading with questions that expand on the reading that we could talk about in class the next day, you know, as long as it's involved and we're doing something with the information. But if it's just kind of like, if it's like just print out pages of just, like, workbooks that you have to fill in, like, fill in the blank or, like, fill in the fact from, like, the article you just read, it just seems a little pointless to me. And, like, I think homework in like, math is very beneficial because, like, math is all about practice and, you know, formula. And so you need to know how to, like, build that foundation. And so you need to do things many over and over again in order to expand your knowledge on math, of math. So I think some homework is beneficial to the student, but I think some of it can waste time and just be somewhat pointless. Depends on the class and depends on the teacher.
Throughout the past few years, what has really inspired me in school was just the teachers providing a space for kids to get excited about things. And if a kid shows interest in something and shows that they're excited, then the teachers are really... they really like to help pretend and create whatever they can to help the student explore that interest or whatever they want to explore. And I feel like seeing, just getting the chance to explore and do whatever we need to do educationally wise and being supported in that way, definitely inspires me and most of the kids to do better in general.
In high school, I had a harder time finding pure interest in the classes that I was taking. With English, I was taking, like, AP classes and stuff, so a lot of, like, the literature and stuff I was reading was really interesting to me, like, personally. Like, I found that more, like, and then I got more into, like, reading stuff on my own, more, like, I already liked reading, but it just kind of made it a little bit more, like, another level, a little bit more, like, educational, I would say. That kind of helped me out, but overall, I'm not sure if any approaches really inspired me from what, like, the teachers did themselves, but just, like, being in an educational environment constantly is just kind of like, it just consistently, like, fuels any educational stuff you want to do. Like, I would say most of the stuff I've been learning, like, actually that I think has been, like, really useful for my future hasn't really been at school, but school's helped me been able to do that, like, through my college classes and, like, paying for that, or, like, through, like, applying for colleges and stuff like that, or going past, like, sophomore year for me, it wasn't like I was really getting much from the classes, but it was still helping me stimulate stuff I still wanted to do before I graduated. But I really wouldn't say that the actual classroom environments did much for me past, like, me, like, socially having fun. I met Mr. Potter I took his biology class, like, sophomore year. Like, I didn't do anything super advanced through science. I was never super interested in science, and I'm still not very interested in science. But his classroom environment was just very interesting because the way that he talked, it was just like, he was just speaking from his knowledge, and you could tell that he was passionate from everything that he was talking about. Like, he cared about the stuff that he was talking about. So it just inherently made me want to listen and care about what he was doing. And I didn't feel like I got that from a lot of teachers until I met him. Like, I didn't understand that teachers could be that passionate about the stuff that they were teaching, and it wasn't just like a job. Like, I felt like he was teaching because he actually really cared about what he was teaching, and it wasn't because he was, like, doing the rubric and what he had to do to, like, get through the class, you know, which I really liked. And then I started doing mock trial with him. And then it just kind of, like, he's just really good at caring about the students. And I think all of the teachers in our school are really good about caring about the students, but he's really good at just seeing a lot of potential in students that students don't necessarily see themselves. And I've seen it with so many kids, just like him just like showing them what they're capable of and then just them just doing really amazing things with it, which I think is really dope. And I would like to do that with whatever I do, you know? Karun is actually going to the school that Mr. Potter's daughter went to, and Eve's going to the school that Mr. Potter's son went to. And I'm going to another school that Mr. Potter knows about. And it's just like, he's been like with us through this whole thing from like us, like since I started getting into the school that I wanted to go to. And then like I got accepted and then I decided to go, and like with all of Karun stuff. And it's just like, he's been one of those teachers who's just kind of been with us through all of it. And it's been really awesome. And he's been really supportive. And like, he didn't have to do that, but he did it. Like, he just did it because he cares. And that's just mind blowing. By far my favorite classroom. It's like kind of a half circle of desks with like all the chairs on the outside. And then there's just like trees and plants kind of just like all over the outside of the room, and just hecka little experiments or like doodads and stuff to mess around with. And like Mr. Potter's room, if you're just in there, you can probably entertain yourself for like hours, just because there was so many things you could just like mess around with, from like physics stuff or like plants and little things to just mess around with. But a lot of the trees got taken out and stuff since he's left, but the energy is still keeping it strong. It was a really cool classroom.
Miss Lane was probably my second choice. Like, I really enjoyed how she taught English. I liked it more than other English classes I've taken, because she would let us interpret the book in like our own ways. Like, it wasn't as, like, when we would read something, it wasn't, like, super concrete. Like, we would have interesting assignments based off what we were reading and learning about. And so it's, like, it inspires me, like, how she, like, was creative with what she did with us, and, like, how writing doesn't really necessarily need to be, like, have super deep meaning or anything like that. It can just kind of be, like, super fun. Like, what if there was, like, an alternate ending to this book, or what if you replace this character with like an evil version of like Elmo or something like that, like just crazy stuff. And so, but it also can give you insight into the character's motivations in the same way if you just look from a different perspective. And so I liked that class because it would take like classic literature, but we would get creative with it. It wasn't just assuming what the book was about based on what everybody else who read it says. If I were to change one thing about high school classes, I would just have them start later. Waking up at 8 was rough for me personally. Or not waking up at 8, but getting there by 8. I'm sure it would be easier if I lived closer to school, but I don't. So that was the one thing I would improve, but like, curriculum and like wise and like how a class is actually structured, I don't know. I really like classes that are interactive and that the teacher allows you to talk and discuss whatever we're learning. Like, if I were to change like one thing about every class, is that you could just like kind of interrupt with your own like, what do you mean what that means, like with your own questions, like whenever, you don't have to wait till the end or write them down and turn them in or anything. Like, you could just talk and see what everybody else in the room is thinking along with the teacher, instead of kind of being silent and trying to absorb information, a constant stream of information.
Just creating an understanding between the faculty and the students. Because the root of a lot of the problems that occur when students are behind in grades, or they're suffering from their mental health, or a lot of the issues come from just a lack of communication between, you know, them and the people in their environment, them and their peers. And I think creating a conversation that allows students to feel more okay and open about talking to their teachers about having help. I just know that personally, like, my sister always tells me that she doesn't want to ask her teachers for help because sometimes they make her feel dumb because she doesn't know what she doesn't know what the answer to the question already, or she should have already known that. And I think it's that attitude that really puts students in a loop of thinking that they're not good enough to succeed, so they don't try, and then they don't succeed, and then it creates this image of themselves, and they fall more into it. And I think less of an attitude about my job is to teach, my job is to be here and tell them the information and get the good grade and they can leave. It's more about creating a connection with the students and helping them in whatever way they can to succeed in and out of the classroom.
I did this program at UC Berkeley. It was a National Student Leadership Conference program, and they do them at different universities all across America about different subjects. And so mine was at Berkeley, and it was on biotechnology. And it was basically how we're using new advancements in our technology and learning more about, like, our DNA and whatnot. And other things, of course. Learning about, like, the molecular biology of people and of plants, and kind of seeing how we can manipulate them with all of this new crazy technology we had. I went to that program. It was really interesting. We talked to some really amazing speakers. I was really inspired by two of the female scientist speakers I saw there. One of them is currently working on the medicine for Zika virus. She was part of the research team that kind of really figured out what was going on with Zika virus and where it came from. And she was similarly already had found a medicine for another mosquito-borne vaccine. So just seeing her talk about how she got to that point and how many twists and turns it took for her to get to that point, and how she's actually like changing people's lives in her like scientific career was really inspiring to me. And it really showed me that like my career doesn't really have to be a straight line. It can really just, I can pursue what I'm interested in, and eventually I'll find something that is meaningful for me that I can focus my efforts on, you know? And so that was a really awesome aspect of that program. I also got to make a cockroach cyborg, which was amazing. We put like needles down their antenna and put electric shocks into them and stuff like that. It was like this really weird thing, but I was like the only one that would touch the bug. So I was doing all the work, but it worked. Yeah. You could like send electric shocks into these bugs' antenna, and you can make them turn left or right while they're walking. It's kind of crazy. Like, we had these little robot bugs. Yeah, it's wild, right? And so just seeing like what science can do, and like what I hopefully will learn as I progress in my education and in my career, and hopefully what I can find a goal to work towards in a project that, you know, gives me fulfillment. I also saw they're making fuel out of plants, which is super cool. So I really liked the program. So we toured like a lab that makes fuel out of plants. They've gotten the plant fuel, like it's like plant gasoline. It's made out of sorghum. They've gotten it to where they can make it for $40 a gallon. And it's hopefully they're trying to put it on the market in the next 10 years. And that's just crazy because it would completely replace gasoline. Right now, the cost to make it, because they have a very small, like, production facility. It's in San Francisco. It's called Joint Bioenergy Institute. And they genetically engineered sorghum plants to have lower cell walls and more of this certain enzyme that they can break down and turn the actual sorghum into fuel. And so they figured this out about 10 years ago that they can do it. And it used to cost $300,000 to even make a gallon of this fuel. But they've industrialized and gotten a lot of the stuff where now they, at this point, they can make it for about $40 a gallon. And right now they're just gaining more infrastructure to expand that to get the price lower so they can put it on the market to basically replace gasoline. And it's carbon neutral even, because whatever carbon the sorghum took in while it's growing, that's the amount it's going to put out in fuel. Minus the plant growth, yeah. Basically, like, someone in the school nominated me for this program, and so they sent me a magazine and a brochure,
And I thought it was super cool, and I picked, like, what program I would be interested in. And then Emily Bays, one of our, I think she's a college counselor or a career counselor, she was saying how they had a grant for any juniors or seniors looking into college programs, like college-bound programs or any career programs. And so me and a couple of friends who had all gotten these nominations from this program, we applied for some of this for part of the scholarship that our school was offering. And they, the school ended up paying about half of the amount of money that I needed to go. And I got to live in Berkeley for, in one of the UC Berkeley dorms for about 2 weeks. And we went to, there was different facilities that we learned in. I got taught by a ex-Stanford professor in biotechnology. He worked on the herpes drug back when he was a, in like the 90s, but yeah, it was just super cool. I got to meet so many accomplished scientists and actually be like, learn, like figure out like what are the steps to become that. And so it was really great.
Last summer, I spent 2 weeks at Georgetown University for a lawn advocacy program. And the organization that ran it was called the NSLC, which stood for National Student Leadership Conference. So I would say about 3/4 of the program was us focusing on like what it would be like to be an attorney or like law school style stuff with just learning about law and going to different places. So we went to like Georgetown Law School also and talked to some professors and we talked to judges and stuff. And it was a lot of just like us kind of just getting a bunch of real life information getting shoved down their throats about what it's actually like to be an attorney. And they showed us attorneys from different places and different backgrounds and how they all got to the different places. And that was really awesome. So there were a lot of lectures, but they were all really interesting. And then another quarter of it, I would say, was kind of the leadership aspect of it. So a guy who kind of ran that aspect came in once or twice a day for our lectures and stuff. And he would do like leadership or like bonding kind of type exercises or just like stuff to kind of put us on our feet and scare us, I think. Just like make us do public speaking or like meet new people or just do a bunch of like stuff that like terrifies us, or like if you're like get you out of your shell. Like one thing I remember we did, which I personally loved but not everybody was as into, it was like two lines of like all of like the kids, and then one person goes down and you have to do one dance move, the same dance move the whole way down, and you cannot stop. And then if you stop, then you have to like go back and like keep getting down. And you have to give the dude a high five at the end. And it's just like confidence, you know, I think was just what it was building. Cause like, I think a huge part of being an attorney is being confident. And that just, I think mock trial also helped me be confident before that, but that really pushed me into it, which is great. And it was a full send it attitude, which is awesome. So that was kind of like the majority of what it was. And we did a lot of like touristy type stuff where we went around and we saw like the monuments, and we saw the Washington monuments at night, and that was really cool. We went to a few museums. Like one of the days they just kind of like let us loose, like in this area where there's like a good 5 or 6 museums in DC, and we all had to stay in our little groups, and then we just got to go into whichever museum we wanted to for a few hours and just like do some stuff. But it was like really cool. Just they gave us like a good amount of freedom and also like corralling us in. So we just stayed like in the dorms at Georgetown, and we ate like in the cafeteria there, and they had Chick-fil-A too, but yeah. But it was really interesting. It was really amazing. And I met so many cool people, and so I think there's maybe one other person from California, and I didn't meet a single person from Northern California. All of the people I met were from like Orange County, you know, so different kind of vibe, like 2 different states basically. But everyone was just really, it was really cool. Like, I've never really hung out with kids from the East Coast before, kids from, like, middle America. Like, I've just never, like, related to them or talked to them about my life. And it was really cool, like, making friends with people that I've never experienced or known before. And, like, actually, like, I went in not knowing how well I was going to be able to make friends or, like, do stuff. Because I've been on trips and stuff before, but I've never gone on a trip 100% by myself. And that was the first time I'd ever done that. And I think it was just really awesome just going and sending it by myself and just meeting all these cool people. And it was a really positive experience. When you're a teenager, I think people are a lot more open-minded. So it's really cool to show other kids kind of your perspective on life. And then they can kind of show you theirs while you're sitting on the bus going to the monuments, you know, little things.
I got a scholarship for it, so they paid for, like, $1,500 worth of it, I think the school did. So, like, I think maybe they paid for, like, half of it, and then I paid for half, or I got some scholarship that made it wildly cheaper. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I didn't pay for it all myself. No. I don't, and, but as far, also, as far as I know, I was also the only kid there who was on a scholarship. I didn't meet anyone else who was also on a scholarship. A lot of the kids that went were very wealthy, which I wasn't fully aware of until I left and I saw their Snapchat stories, and I was like, damn, he has a BMW, which is fine. When you're there, like, I don't think that there's much of a differentiation between how I act as a 16-year-old girl or a 17-year-old girl compared to, like, a really rich 17-year-old girl, if she's just kind of chill. Like, I think teenagers, like, it's kind of difficult to tell, and no one's really going to flex how much money they have that hard. So, I just didn't know. But most of the kids, I didn't know any of the kids that were there on scholarship. Actually, I knew one kid that was there on scholarship. He was from Oakland. That was it. And then I really liked him, though. And, but there was a good 200 kids in the program, and I think me and him are the only ones I knew of that were on scholarships.
It's all right. I just hope things just don't get weirder for high schoolers going into high school. I really think my high school is strong, and so nothing much will change. And I think they did a good job with me and my friends. I think so. We're all going to college. I feel educated. So. It's just sad that this is the way it had to go out. They canceled my whole college orientation program, so I'm really bumming. Yeah, we had, during the summer, there was, like, these different three-day programs where we got to pick our classes and, tour the dorm room we're going to be in and meet with our class advisors and all of this, and they canceled it and moved it to these weird modules online, and I don't understand how that's going to work. And so I'm really bumming that this whole, like, three-day college experience where I was going to really learn where I'm going to be for the next 4 years can't happen this summer.
Talked about the graduation and stuff, and they were talking about maybe we could have one in, like, July. So it makes it seem like there's not really much of a way that we'd be going back to school anytime soon. And so it just doesn't seem like that's on, like, a high list of priorities for a lot of people.
My name is Eve.
My name is Corinna Gillespie.
I am Natalia Cuesta-Taneo. That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Label Healthy Start Coalition's Drug Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project founded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Latinville community.
If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Latinville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jama@latinville.org.
You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached at mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming and downloadable audio.
Views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of the radio station. They are the views of those who express them. You Speaks Out is free to be rebroadcasted upon notification. Our shows are posted monthly on our website, youspeaksout.net, and you can find our podcast link there or on iTunes. Our next show will be posted in June. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you in June.
I've decided to be happy. I've decided to be glad. I've decided to be grateful for all I ever had. I've decided to let go of all this pain tonight. I've decided to